Welcome to the Profitable Steward Podcast with Jared Sorensen. In this series, we'll learn and explore regenerative agriculture principles. Through practices that improve soil health, animal health, and good stewardship, we are working to help you increase your productivity and profitability. Join us in learning from successful farm and ranch experts who share stories of growth from their fields to help your fields grow strong. Here is your host, Jared Sorensen.
Welcome, everyone. We're grateful to have you here. This is the Profitable Regeneration webinar series, Profitable Regeneration Masterclass. And it also goes out as the Profitable Steward Podcast. So we welcome those that are on here live. We've got about 45 live participants. We're grateful that you're here. We do these things every other week, the second and fourth Thursdays. We're very grateful to have Tina and Richard here with us. Talking about stewardship and from the standpoint of how we work stock, and also a little bit about marketing. And just for some context, Tina is Bud and Eunice Williams' daughter, and so we're grateful that they're perpetuating that legacy. They're sharing the message with the world, and I had the privilege of getting to know Bud when he was alive, as well as Eunice, and they visited our ranch, and just salt of the earth people. I'm grateful that you guys are doing what you're doing. So well, welcome. And kind of the way this is going to roll is this will be more of a discussion style. So we'll do some presentation at the beginning, and then we'll jump into some question and answers, and we'll probably go for 45 to 60 minutes and then wrap it up. So
perfect. Yep.
So very good. Well, let's jump right in, you guys. First of all, I guess tell us where you're located and where home is for you now.
That's in Southwest Missouri.
Okay.
And we've got a small acreage here that we've used the marketing to our advantage. And of course, everybody can if they want to. Missouri is one of those spots where the pastures are not huge, but there's cattle on most of it. And so I think we're the third largest cattle producer in the United States right now in Missouri. And I think Polk County, where we live, is probably, it goes back and forth between number one or number two in calf production of the state of Missouri. So we have a lot of cattle here and a lot of calves. And I know that I've kind of seen both sides of this marketing concept or marketing ideas. And I used to be one that I just sold a few calves in the spring and I sold a few calves in the fall. And I just took whatever somebody would give me for them. And then I guess about right after I met Tina in 2002, we happened down to Bud and Eunice's at Bowie, Texas for a visit. And after we got our hellos finished, we sat down and Eunice and Tina, of course, they ran to the computer room to take care of all that. And that left Bud and I in the living room. And he looked at me and he said, "Richard, what's your marketing plan?" And I said, "Well, Bud, I sell a few calves in April and I sell a few calves in September, October." And he just got up and walked off, never made a sound, went in his office and sat down. And see, I knew right then that maybe there's something I was missing. And the part I was missing was the marketing. And I think that is fairly common for most ranchers, a lot of ranchers anyway, that we all learn how and we focus on buying, but we're never taught and never shown anything about marketing. We just buy stuff. That's what we're used to doing. because that's what we grew up doing. Now, fortunate for me, I grew up on a dairy farm and had a herd of dairy cattle by the time I was 15 or 16. And so I should have known better at that point that there might be a better way to, a more profitable way, exactly, to market livestock and likely to be able to capture opportunity when it appears. And that's what so many people, I guess, refrain from doing. They purchase stock a lot of times with an idea that they're going to keep them for 6 months or 12 months or
10 years.
until they're 800 pounds anyway, on calves anyway. And that's a terrible plan right there, because we don't know what the price will be in 6 months or really next week anymore. I don't know what it is. We don't use any crystal balls to calculate what's good sells and what's good buys. We more focus on last week's auction report. And we use the Missouri Weighted Averages, the USDA, and that seems to give us a real, a very clear view of which animals are overvalued and which are undervalued, because you got to understand it's all a relationship. There's always cattle that are overvalued. So that must mean if there's always some that are overvalued, then there has to be some that are undervalued at the same time. And I think a lot of people, they don't know how to find that. They don't have a way to determine which is which and by how much. And by using some math and some simple formulas, you can actually calculate what you own in inventory and compare that to what is the market is paying for certain weights of animals and certain sexes of animals and certain cows, and some cows they want, some they don't want. And so we always try to capitalize on the animals that people don't want at the time, and then supply the market with animals that people want at the time they're willing to pay overvalued prices for them. So Tina wanted to read you a couple of little quotes from Bud that I thought was really spells out the marketing concept as a whole.
Dad said, "What the sell-by concept will do is help make better, more profitable decisions about what to sell, when to sell, and why you're selling. It will also help in deciding what should be purchased and the value a buy will have." And then another one, he said, "I feel that thoughts and ideas have very little value. It is what is done with thoughts and ideas that can create value." And that's where it's so important that you go to these educational things like what you had the last 2 days and this, but then take that information and actually apply it and do something with it.
We've got a little diagram, a little slide that we show in the school, and it's got a fellow standing up against a wall, and he's standing on about 15 ladders that are laid flat, and he can barely see over the wall. And I think a lot of times that's kind of how we are. We have all the resources we need, but we have to put them to use to get any value out of them. And a lot of times that's difficult for people. It's easy to sell once a year because you don't have any decision to make. You know you're going to sell in October or September or August or whenever it is you sell once a year. But the problem with that is that's a really high risk situation. And it's a huge gamble for a person to hope, I guess that's what I'm going to use, hope that there's somebody that really wants your cattle the day that you haul them in. Sometimes that works out real well. I think they used to say that a ranch was profitable 3 out of 10 years, and maybe that's the year that they hit the right date for the sale of what they offer up to the market. But it really doesn't have to be that way. We can we really don't have to go to an auction much, but we need to know the prices there, and we need to know what it is that people are desiring at that time of the year. Because around here, where we live here in Missouri, we have this grass madness thing that happens every spring about, well, it used to start in March and then it was February and they ran out of calves in February. Everybody wants 400-pound black steers to go to grass. And
Like that's the only animal
yeah,
that can eat
right.
grass.
None of the rest, they don't require grass. But they're willing to pay way overvalued prices just to get these calves. And so what they've started doing is they've started buying them in January and February now at 300 pounds or 350, and then feed them until grass starts, and usually around here, mid-March, early March, depending. And but at least they have them, because you've got to have 400-pound steers to go to grass. And so we always tried to have plenty of those kind of calves at that point in time, so we could offer those up because everybody wanted them. And I think that when everybody wants something, maybe we ought to do our best to supply it for them.
But you don't necessarily, I mean, it's not something you can necessarily count on every year, but we're watching for that. And when that situation comes about, that's what we do. And your area probably has similar things where you have a certain time of year when everybody just wants, when we're saying undervalued animals, we're not meaning three-legged, one-eyed animals. We're talking about just the very same animal, except it's a little different weight, maybe a different color or different sex. And it's funny how each area, they've got the times of the year, they want certain things, and we want to provide them those. And then we can go ahead and buy the animals that for some reason they're not wanting
Right.
at that time. And we've got some math that helps you to find those. You don't have to guess or you know try and figure it out on the fly at the market. We've got some dad developed math to help you determine these things.
Tina and I went to our first school in 2005 with Bud and Eunice, and I went to the room and collapsed after the first day because I had gone far beyond my ability to understand a lot of the things that he was trying to convince us that were right. And we attended numerous schools after that that Bud and Eunice had, and others. And I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years, we got most of it sorted around and got to going in calves and really had a good run with it. And we started teaching it in 2014 and didn't really want to. Because all I really wanted to teach was the stockmanship side of it. And I told Tina, I said, look, if we start teaching this marketing, somebody will surely find a way to lose money because that's what we're really good at. People like to buy high and sell low. And they do the same with the stock market every day. People are doing the same exact thing. The best example was the pigs. We used to have a lot of free range hogs that ran around here. And when the pig prices got really high, everybody had to have some of them. And then, of course, it wasn't, pigs populate much quicker, and the cycles are much quicker with pigs than it is with cattle, which is a lot slower. By the time that everybody realizes that we need to have more calves because we're running out of heavy calves, then it takes a lot longer. But what they would do was they would wait until the prices went way down to a lot of times to the bottom, and then they'd sell out, and they'd keep repeating the same process over and over. But I think that partly is human nature too. We want to be a part of something that's really high, and cattle right now is the thing to be. I think it's a great time to be in the cattle business. I think any time's a great time to be in the cattle business, but if it's not profitable for you and your ranch, then it's going to be hard to keep living that lifestyle. And so we've tried to help people to see the market in a different light as we look at the market as a sell-buy process, and most people like to look at things, and especially livestock, as a buy-sell. I bought it and I paid this for it, and I had it for 8 months and I sold it for that. And you take away the expenses, or kind of what people call expenses. And you hope you've got something left over after that is complete. But it doesn't have to be that way. And really, everybody is doing sell-by marketing already. They're just not aware that they're doing it. And they're leaving out a lot of steps or things that they do before the initial buy, or the initial sell, which is you had to have some money that came from somewhere. I don't know where you got it. You was a ranch hand, or you owned a store and you sold it, or you owned a house and you sold it, or you got some money somewhere. I don't know. Well, see, even that is a sell buy. You sold your labor, or you sold a product, and you bought the money. And so that too is a sell buy. And then you take the money and you sell that money and you buy calves with that. So again, that too is a sell buy. And then you're going to take them back in the fall, or in
When
2 months,
become
or
overvalued.
when, well, in our case, yes, but not always. And you're going to sell the calves and you're going to buy money back, or I hope they pay you. I think most of the time, our experience has been very good about getting paid for our cattle wherever we took them. And it's a whole different way of looking at marketing, but it's reality. And if you look at any large retailer, and you name it, doesn't matter, Target, Walmart, Bass Pro, anything, you name it, they're already doing this. That's all they work on is sell by marketing. They sell a product for X amount and they replace it immediately with another product of the same quality, only it costs less when they replaced it. Tina went down to buy a camera lens at the camera store. You want to tell that story? You're kind of getting left out here, and I hate to just take over. She's going to tell the camera lens story.
Oh, Mom and I went to the camera store, and I was looking in the cabinet. I wasn't just kind of dreaming, and I said, "Well, how much is that lens right there?" And she said, "Just a minute, I'm going to go look." And she went and she got this price sheet, and she said, "Every week we get an updated price sheet." And Mom was with me, and I looked at Mom and giggled because we knew what this meant. They were doing sell-by marketing on that lens. They didn't care what they bought it for. They might have bought it 6 months ago for more than, because a lot of times these prices go down. They didn't care what they paid for it. All they cared was what they could replace it for. And every week they got a list of the prices, the current price for those lenses. Then they would put their markup, whatever their markup is, and then that would be the price of the lens. And that's the way we need to be thinking about the livestock is that sell by right there. We don't care what we paid for that calf. That's done.
It's
That
over.
it's a you
It's
can't
you
change it.
can't change it, good
It's
or
over.
bad.
All you can do is replace that calf or cow or ewe or lamb or goat
Style.
or bison or whatever it is, you can replace it at a profit. How about I read this?
This is a good time to read that.
In 2012, at the Bud Summit, the last Bud Summit that Dad went to in Coffeyville, Kansas, he explained sell-by marketing, and it this really is all it. We could just end after this, but we'll have some more for you too. So Dad said, everybody who has anything to do with livestock is already doing the livestock marketing just like I say. The whole industry is doing the marketing just like I say. They just don't know they are. Since they don't know they are, they're just screwing it up. You can't sell something without buying something, and you can't buy anything without selling something. So we already do these things. The only thing is we can't make ourselves realize this because we only think of buying and then selling. Every time you buy animals, you must sell something in order to buy those animals. They already sold and then bought. Every time we sell an animal, we buy something. When you take the animals to the sale and sell them, you buy money. I'm almost sure you do, or I doubt you'd take them there. Because if you take them to the sale and don't get anything in return, you'll probably stop doing that. If you sell them to a private party, I'm almost sure they give you money in return. So we already sell by. If anybody can show me a situation where you don't, I'd like to see it. I
Let
don't.
me promise you, you cannot find one because I tried for months to prove that some things were a sell buy to
A
bud.
buy-sell. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Yeah.
no, a buy
Yeah.
sell. And he said, well, you think one up and bring it and we'll talk about it. And I couldn't find one. And that was when I gave up on that idea. So.
I don't know of any, and I've been studying this for a long time.
Right.
So we already sell buy. It's just we have it in our mind, we buy sell, and we don't want to let loose of that. We don't want to admit we already do it, and all we have to do is improve on it. But, and this is the kicker, you can't improve on something you don't believe you do. That's where the problem is. You don't have to switch over to anything. All you have to do is realize you're already doing it and just improve the way you're doing it. Don't look at proper livestock marketing as we have to make a change. We don't have to change anything except our thinking. That's all, nothing else.
And change is the hardest thing there is in the world to do, I truly believe.
I wanted to just give you a couple of day-to-day situations. Again, everything has to do with sell by, and when you start thinking this way, you'll start seeing how it does fit in.
Even to matter where are we going to go for lunch today? So you just think about how much time, which is your work time to make money, do you need to pay for the lunch? And what's going to be a good sell by for you for this? Do you have a really special lunch in mind? Maybe you're taking a special person out and you really want it to be special. You're going to sell more of your time in the form of money to buy this dinner or lunch. It's the same when you decide what to do with your 550-pound steers. You are they over or undervalued on the market? And then you just have to look at all these numbers and make this decision based on the math and this sell and this buy. Is it the time to sell them? Are there replacements that are undervalued? What you're going to be getting in that sell buy. But you'll start seeing all this in the different situations in your life, any decision. One fellow was in one of our students was saying they used it in buying farm machinery. It's the same thing. You're selling money, you're buying a piece of farm machinery. You want to make a good sell buy. So which is overvalued, your money, the machinery, how much, all this, you'll start having it seep into everything you do. You really will.
It surely does.
I think we're close there.
What?
We wanted to give you a little example of a current situation, and a little bit of math, with the, yeah, sorry, go ahead,
No,
with the
you're
cows.
doing fine.
I went through again. We live in Missouri, so we do use the Missouri weighted averages using the USDA report. Now, not every state, and obviously the Canadian provinces don't have those USDA reports are nice, but you do have a livestock auction report, or you can go yourself and write down prices, or you can call the auctioneer or the office, and a lot of times they'll give you information. You can get these prices. So I got the prices for last week. And to just see where we were with how the value of bred cows, bred heifers, and pairs is compared with how they're selling, whether they're over or undervalued on the market. Because 2 to 3 years ago, cows were really overvalued on the market. I mean, you should have culled heavy. They were worth so much compared to their actual value. The selling price was way over what their actual calculated value was. And you really should have culled everything. And that stopped about 1.5 years ago. We could see it changing because we teach at least two marketing schools a year, and then we do in-person schools. So I run a lot of numbers, and it started shifting. And by now, about 1 year ago, every cow was undervalued. In other words, they were selling for less than their calculated value. And people were thinking, because the calf market was so high, well, the cows too, I should sell my cows. Well, but they hadn't followed that, because people, if you don't do the math, you don't understand that they were not keeping up with the calf price based on their calculated value. And real quick, and this is something that you could do in your area, because every area is different, and it could be that cows are overvalued in yours, and let they're not here. You're going to take the cow's weight times her cull value. And I noticed the cull value is really going up in Missouri. I think they're getting prepared for the summer hamburger needs and everything, but it's high. I used $1.25. And because we're going to assume that cow does not breed back, we're always going to be really conservative, because we don't know. She's a bred cow, or she has a calf by side. We don't know if she's going to breed back. So we're going to do her cull value, the calf's weight at weaning times the current price for calves, today's price. Only use today's price. That's all we know. We are never going to extrapolate into the future. The number of months until the calf is weaned. And your cost to keep, because remember, you're going to have to hold that cow till that calf is weaned. So, how many months? How much does it cost you per month? And then that's your math. So you add the cow value to the calf value and subtract the cost for you to get it to weaning, and that number You compare it to what the current prices are. And I was actually surprised because I had thought there had been kind of a blip. Last time I did it, about a month ago, I guess I did. And there has been kind of a blip where the younger cows were overvalued. Today, it's back to almost the only animals that were only cows, bred cows, bred heifers, or pairs that were overvalued were the cows or heifers with big calves. That was the pairs, the ones with big calves. Now, that's in Missouri last week. But these are things that you can easily calculate in your area. And that can give you an idea when they're undervalued, and they actually ranged from $700
From 100 to 700.
undervalued. So there's some opportunity there if you if it is like that in your area. Like we joked about the here in Missouri, they can only put 400-pound black steer calves on the grass. Well, there might be some other animals, since everybody wants those and those are going so high, there might be some other animals that you could consider. But these are the type of things, and sometimes people think sell-by marketing is only for stockers, but as you can see, what we just talked about there is cows. So if you're cow-calf, you need to know the value of the cows on your property and how they compare with what they are at the market or what you could get selling them to somebody else. Because, if you're really proud you have this cow out there that's worth $3,000, that doesn't help you any till you sell her. And, that's
It's
if you
like
don't.
buying Google when it was $5 a share and keeping it from that time till now. And it's all unrealized gains if you don't sell them. What we're after is profitable realized gains. And to do that means that sometime you're going to have to sell whatever it is that you have. And I guess there, I'll just throw this out there because we're not in an auditorium and nothing will come flying. But you have to understand that you're always going to have to sell these animals sometime. That's what people kind of they get confused on that subject, I think, a lot. If you're going to have to sell them sometime, what difference does it make when you do that? Well, it could make a lot of difference as far as profit or loss. And if you keep that cow until she comes up open in the fall and you cull her, then you've probably missed the boat several times over. There were several times in that animal's life, really from the time she was an 800-pound heifer until now, the cull, that you could have taken advantage on high-priced markets if you would have. But a lot of people, like I said earlier, and I'm going to go back to that. We know how to buy and hold. That's what we're really good at. We like to buy something and then just keep it because we don't have to make any decision that way. We bought it, we're just going to keep it until it comes up open. Now, some I know even keep open cattle. And I can't tell you about what that is, but we can't fix that,
No.
let me tell you. Anyway.
Well, and like I just mentioned, just 2 years ago, you could have sold, any cow you maybe didn't quite like or something. They were so overvalued. And then today you could buy undervalued cows. So again, that's just what Richard was saying about how this value actual goes.
Goes up and
And
down.
during the life, I mean, that's only a 3 year Period.
Right.
And, you know, if you got a 5-year old cow now, she was there then, or a 6 or 7 year old, you missed that opportunity.
And there'll be more.
But there'll be another.
Yep.
There'll be another. One really important thing, and you probably, well, if you're watching the video again, you could write it down, but this is something that is so important with dad's marketing. What he says, every day, if you don't sell an animal you own, you bought it for today's market price. Did you make a good buy? And that's just what we were talking about. If that cow, if you, maybe your neighbor has offered to buy a cow of yours for $3,000 out there, and if you don't sell her for that, you bought her for that. Was that a good buy? Maybe it was. Maybe it was. We just want you to think of it that way. That's just the way it should be thought of. And like I say, that's fine. If you have thought it through and you've decided to make that buy and keep her the same, you don't sell her, you keep her, you bought her, then that's what you bought her for. And
you see, with profitable marketing is our number one unfair advantage. And if you know how to do it and you understand sell-by marketing, then you would definitely improve on your situation, both for the ranch and for your life. But people don't like to think of these things. They
right.
would rather just buy them and keep them. And I don't know where that comes from. It may go to the Maasai or to what do you call it? Rock cave humans, cavemen. It may go far back. I'm not sure where
you guys had to have enough cattle to buy your women.
We did, or sheep, or a combination thereof.
I think it's a proven fact. I forget what they call the name of it, but we tend to value more what we have than what we don't have. And so, you know, you see that when people have junk cars around their yard, and they're like, why don't you just sell that thing?
Yep.
But to them, it has more value, even though it doesn't run. And I think it's kind of that scarcity mindset that there's not enough. And maybe lean times, you know, we've been taught to think that way. And so we learned in the summit from Roger Savory that it takes 3 generations to overcome an inherited fear. So we're just probably, like you said, maybe have some of these inherited false beliefs from our ancestors that we get to choose to adopt or reject.
That's right.
Well, and that's why the math helps. Math is, it's there. It's black and white. The numbers are there. That's not something that there's no emotion. And so if you do the math tells you what decisions should be made. You know what your animals weigh, you know what stage of pregnancy or what sex, you know, whatever it is, whether you have stalkers, you know these things, you know what the market is, and you're going to have the tools then that you're going to tell you if they're over or undervalued. But see, you do have to think just a little story. We did a school in Swift Current, Saskatchewan, and it was in December, and I had current prices. We always use current prices in our marketing schools, current as we can have to travel there. But it was really obvious that 700 pounds, the market was not going to pay to put any more weight on a 700 pound calf. That was it. It was done. It was just not going to pay. Well, these guys had a background yard, and what they did, they took calves up to 750 pounds and then they sold. It was 750 was where the cut was.
Right.
They took it, which was only going to be 2 more weeks. Okay. They took them to 800 pounds. And I don't ever tell people what to do with marketing, like Richard said, but this one was so obvious. It was really obvious that they were going to pay those calves for 2, maybe 3 more weeks. and weren't going to get anything. The dollars per head was going to be exactly the same at 750 pounds as it was going to be at 800 pounds. And I was like, I was showing them this here and the value of gain, it's dropped off here. This, they were going to sell these animals anyway. It wasn't like something they were
What
going to keep.
difference does it make when?
But they could not break free of that because they have this plan. And this
Gotta
is what we
stick to the
do.
plan.
And that way we don't have to think.
That's right. We
We
have a plan and we're going to follow through.
we are going to follow that plan. And that was fine. I mean, it probably wasn't going to break them. It was but there's just some things like that, that when you do the math, you'll start seeing these things. And it will help you to make decisions, and you'll wind up, you might be selling and buying all through the year. Oh, and you don't have to go to an auction. If you're a cow calf, you don't ever have to go to an auction. It's when you sell your animals, when you sell your calves, when you sell your cows, and your buy is money and the feed they would have eaten.
And you want to be very careful at all times that we're not giving our feed away.
Oh yeah, that
And so
yeah.
many of us are guilty of that because we don't recognize. I look at it many times as akin to depreciation. You don't see it, but it's there. And you don't write a check for it. And somebody doesn't get a check for it, but the value of that product has lessened over a year, and that money has gone out of your assets. And so it goes away. And if you don't see these things and take advantage of them when they appear, then you miss it. And then you end up waiting until they're 800 pounds or 600, or it doesn't matter what it is, 2 months,
Whatever your
your
plan
plan,
is.
then your plan gets in the way of profitability. And I don't think that should be the case. And I think we should never be guilty of giving away our feed. You know, if you're going to work like most of us do as ranchers, then you should be rewarded for that time that you spend and your labor and your investments to get repaid for the work that you do and the product that you bring to the market.
This is the marketing book that Mom and Richard and I put together of the things that Dad had written, and the transcription of the video that's no longer for sale. You can tell I use mine quite a bit. When I was editing it, Dad repeated often that what Richard just said about giving away your feed. And I thought about, well, should I cut some of this out? No, I shouldn't, because the reason he kept repeating it in his blog post was people kept asking him, or people kept talking about situations where they were giving away their feed. And so I hope that he would write it just a little bit different. I think he was hoping that he would it would click with somebody. But this is a really good, really, really good reference. It's spiral bound, so it's really easy for you to open and leave it open on your desk. A friend of ours leaves it open on his desk and reads a post or two in between each phone call. It's just a really good. I see. Let me just read a couple of more quotes, and then we can open up for questions. That sound good, Jared?
Yep, that's great. You guys are doing great. Appreciate that. We'll do some rapid fire questions here. And
Good.
while you
Okay.
maybe before you read that quote, one thought. I know that some people will actually open up a second banking account and they'll have their trading enterprise pay for the feed back to either the main enterprise or to the land company. So there's actually at the market rate of what you could sell that feed
Good.
for
Right.
custom grazing.
Yep,
And
you
so
should.
they're realizing that enterprise is actually realizing a cash cost for that feed. And the ranch is realizing a gain for that feed. So
This, I'm sorry I haven't kept up with the questions. Richard just pointed
that's
out that stockmanship.com. This is mom sells these at stockmanship.com. And then if you're interested, we do have an online marketing school coming up, and that would be at handinhandlivestocksolutions.com. And I don't know, maybe Jared, are you going to put something?
Yeah, we'll drop that in the chat while you're reading that quote.
And
Yep.
I haven't been keeping up with that,
Well,
so I have, but I did see that
why
one.
don't you focus on this? You
You
wanted
want
to
me to?
read something unless that was important.
Okay, so one more quote from Dad. He said, "Thinking about selling 6 months from now, or what the market will be 6 months from now, is just a way to keep from thinking about the decisions we should be making now. Stay prepared with money, feed, labor, and things like that for the future. That's good, but make our sell-buy decisions today."
Everything is today.
Everything's
It's
today.
today's prices because we know those, because we know what they sold for last week, and they'll be close to the same this coming. They go up and down, but they don't go huge amounts up and down normally.
And the relationships
Will
will
change.
change, but it's over a little
It's
time.
over time, but if you can just start to think about maybe a little change in your ideas about sell buy as compared to buy sell. And like my neighbor, I had a neighbor that passed away in 2000. We spent a lot of time together, and he told me that his grandfather had told him when he was a youth that all you needed to know was to sell high, buy low. And I like to throw that in because nothing's changed. I mean, the dollar amounts have changed most definitely, but the idea of selling what's high and buying what's low is will be here forever. That's what it'll be. So
I see a good question here. Talk a bit about trading between species. And that's a good question. And it'd be similar as between trading between stocker cows and bred cows. Okay. They're two separate calves and goats. They're two separate sheep and goats. They're separate. But what you're going to just exactly what Richard said, you're going to sell the overvalued and replace with the undervalued. So,
on both
whichever on
sides,
both
in both
sides.
enterprises, you do the same thing.
And so, if you have calves and you're thinking about going to sheep, then you're going to wanting to be selling the overvalued of your
Calves.
calves and replacing with undervalued sheep so that it's within the sheep situation which of them are undervalued. And that's there isn't a straight math between them. And it actually selling the overvalued and replacing with the undervalued is what you do when you're doing stockers too, but we have some math for that. But yes, absolutely, you can do that. And we have some Excel files in our course for trading stocker lambs. And actually there are people, in fact, Ben with the I oh he wasn't when we went to West Virginia, we worked with a fella that was doing that. You would think there's not enough time with lambs to actually trade stocker lambs, but there is
But there
time.
is.
There is. So, but yeah, you're always going to sell the overvalued and replace with the undervalued. Hope that answers
Good
the
question.
Yeah, good question. So we'll do some other rapid fire questions here. And we must be doing good because I haven't heard Eunice pipe up and
No,
correct
I
you guys
don't know.
yet.
She's still there, so
Okay. Does sell by apply in direct marketing? I mean, I know what I guess I know what does because Richard, you said it applies in everything. How do you see that it applies in direct marketing when we are selling value-added products? Is
because
there
that's the overvalued.
okay?
It's pretty simple. That's overvalued because it has more value to it because you're getting that price, that higher price, because you've added the value to it. So it's the overvalued thing. Now, you can't sell all your calves for that. Maybe you've got some you had to give an antibiotic to or something, so they're not going to fit into that, and so they won't have that opportunity to go to that over. But it's the same thing. Yep, that's overvalued. And remember, we want to sell the overvalued, so that's perfect.
And so your profit then is figured when you replace that, what you've sold, and you buy back the heiferette or the stalker calf that you're then going to, and you're going to use the expenses bit off of the animal you sold and apply them back to the replacement.
And it's right that day. And you don't even have to replace with an animal. You can sell an animal and you buy money and the feed the animal would have eaten. And this is especially important in a drought situation. You should start selling down your animals so that you can match the amount of feed that you have. And so in that situation, that's your sell buy. You sell an animal and you buy money. And the feed the animal would have eaten.
Okay. That's good. What about does the question, does this work everywhere?
Yes.
I can't imagine a place that it doesn't work.
Okay. Like some people say, well, they're too far from a sale barn. That's the most common excuse that I
Do
get,
they
even in America.
ever go? They have to get there sometime in the year.
Or they have to sell their animals sometime, right?
Whether it's on the video or at a sale
They
barn
sell them
or,
somehow.
yes.
And
Yeah,
so
private
that,
duty.
unless you just keep every animal till it dies on your place, you're selling them somehow. And that is what we want you to look at is when you're selling that animal.
Okay.
Yeah, and it,
And
like
then
I already said, you don't have to go to the auction. And a lot of people sell them direct to people, but you have to know what price, and you need to know what weight, what time during the life of that calf, or those first few months that you own them is the best time. There was some time 5 or 6 years ago, market was not paying you to put weight on over about 500 pounds. And if you would keep those calves longer, it was not going to pay you what it cost you. And so there's situations like that. So yeah,
okay.
that's that.
How much capital or how many head would it take to make a full-time business out of trading?
Now, mom has the answer to that. What did dad
I think
say?
you have to start with one.
Well, yeah. You can start with one.
You
What was
know,
it, Dad?
I've made if you could run 100 head of stalkers, you could and trade them properly, you could make a nice profit for yourself and be able to hire a hired man to take care of that 100 head. And this fellow, we told that in Australia, and this fellow, said, no way. And then he purchased this little area that would run just about 100 head. And he kept records on it, and he said, "That's true. You market
So a
that."
100 head, I guess, would answer your question.
That's
Okay.
hiring
And
somebody to
so
take care of it.
right.
now I guess we just learned from Jim Gerrish at the summit that expenses have increased in some instances by 3,000% since the high in the cattle market in the 1970s, when they reached that all-time high. And so if the cattle prices were to keep on pace with that, then fed cattle, I can't remember the numbers. I've got a picture of the slide, but fed cattle should be pushing $3, to keep up with inflation. So would the number of head need to increase based on inflation, or is it the margin?
I'll tell you something. When we're talking sell buy, we're talking about capitalizing. This is the sell and this is the buy. Okay. Now, if you think about this, it doesn't matter whether calves are $3 a pound, $10 a pound, $1 a pound. We're getting this difference here. That's
Okay.
why Dad always says he could make more money in a down market,
Declining
a
market.
market that's going down, than he could in a market that's going up. See, that's why the price per pound doesn't matter to us. All that matters is the relationship between the animals we decide to sell and we decide to buy. It doesn't matter how much. We are only working on this difference right here. Now, granted, costs have went up. I'm with you there. And I totally get what you're saying, but it doesn't matter what, because people are still going to want one type of animal more, and it's going to change than they want. It isn't always. So it's not always that every day they want 400-pound black steers. No, okay. Because next month they're going to want something else. It just changes. And if you keep up with that and you have your inventory and you keep up with what the market wants, that's where you make your profit. And it's not a strict, okay, I have, this many head and I sell them when they're 700 pounds and blah, 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 blah. So I have to, and you do the math and all this complicated stuff. Well, I have to get $10 a pound for them to make it. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
Is that hail?
Not yet.
It's just a raining arm. So we're working on this.
On the margin between
the margin between the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what we've talked about all night. It's this sell, buy, and this is the profit right here. Well, you take out your costs, and this could be way up here or it could be way down here.
So in reality, using this idea of marketing, it really doesn't matter what the price of cattle is, because it really makes no difference. We're just going to find the difference in the weights, the different weights of calves, or the different ages, and possibly even the stage of pregnancy of the cows. Mm-hmm. We're going to find the ones that they're not paid, they don't want, and we're going to take those home with us, because it won't be long before those will be the ones that they do want. And that's when we take them back. Mm-hmm. So we, I used to worry a lot about beef price too. And then I took the marketing and I said, it doesn't matter what the price is, makes no difference.
Yeah.
Because we're going to make our profit either way, doesn't matter.
On the replacement.
On the replacement is where we're going to, actually, you're buying a profit when you're replacing your inventory. And so that's hard. It's a hard concept for people to grasp until they think on it for a while. This will come clear.
And so with that 100 head, how many trades per year would that be?
How long is a piece of rope?
Yeah.
Because you do have to watch the market and see as it goes, but you have to be ready. And that's the thing. It's just like, who would have thought when I run these numbers that these cows with these 300 plus pound calves are overvalued by a good bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we had some of them, I'd be poking Richard in the ribs and saying, load them up, because here's this opportunity. You don't know. You just need to be ready.
Yeah.
And again, no plan.
And be aware of procrastination and how that a negative influence on your marketing, because doing nothing is probably the worst thing you can do.
Or waiting, thinking the market will go up. No, I'm gonna wait till they get to this. No, that's not what this is about. If you see an opportunity where you can make a trade today, then you should capitalize on that and then move on. Don't look back, I should have, whatever. No, you make your money. You've made a profit. You buy a profit. Then you move forward. And
I used to think that you could make a profit and be profitable with production. But then I saw that that's not possible. You can't be profitable simply on production alone. It just won't do it, not anymore. And I know there was times where you could haul a load of calves, a gooseneck load of calves, into the auction and buy a brand new pickup with the proceeds. But that doesn't work anymore. And that may be part of the 3,000% inflation increase that we're seeing. But again, it really doesn't matter what the price of animals are. What matters is that you don't give your feed away and your time and labor, and you capitalize on the market on your replacements or your buybacks.
Mm-hmm. You could almost see, if you did have these cows with these bigger calves and you hauled them in, you could at that same auction buy a second period cows and really make a good profit right there, just right there, because it's what they want and what they don't want. A good question about keeping track of inventory, especially with different weights of animals when you're buying singles and putting them together. You're going to know what they weigh when you buy them. You get a thing from them. You probably are going to put a year tag in them. You're going to identify them somehow. And then you'll keep track of that. You should have an idea about what your calves are gaining. We highly recommend you have a scale. You've got to know what your animals weigh. This marketing really requires you to know what they weigh, not guess what they weigh, but know what they
weigh.
And
that's the weight that they go across the scale.
And your shrink to take them to wherever. If you're going to take them to an auction, you need to know your shrink, because what they cross that scale, that's, you need to know that. But yeah, you can put these animals together. And then you can weigh them, and this ties in with the stockmanship, bring them up, weigh them however often you need to. As if the market shifts a little bit and you're like, boy, I can see it. Market is really wanting 525s. Man, I think I might have some. Run them in. Yeah, I do. Sort them off. They go to town. It really isn't that hard. And the stockmanship will help you. It's really good to get your calves up and work with them and do stuff with them anyway. That's really good for them.
So I'm going to share a little bit about our upcoming event. Some of you were able to be on yesterday and the day before on the Profitable Regeneration Summit. Actually, the Legacy Profitable. What did we call that thing? It's been a day. I've slept since then. The Regenerative Legacy Summit is what we called it. And we introduced there an opportunity to be able to join us for 2 days to be able to work exclusively on your business, to create a legacy business, to put the framework in place to scale what you're currently doing. And so this, I've just dropped it in the chat. This is the event. And because you guys are part of the Ag Steward group, we invite you to join us. The URL for that is events.agsteward.co. And there's a minimal fee for it. But who this event for is really for people who are committed to regeneration. They're willing to put in the time to make it into a business. And especially for those who are already in business and looking at scaling it, taking it to the next level. So we're going to talk about the economics and talk about the finance side of it, the people side, the production side, kind of all the components you need to be able to truly have a legacy business that will outlast you for generations to come. What are your takeaways, you guys, from what we've learned?
So my takeaways were don't be attached to any animal.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate that. Who else wants to be brave and unmute and share takeaways from what we learned here this evening?
My problem is I sell calm cattle and I buy crazy cattle. That's my problem. That's a funny note.
Oh. But are those, are the calm cattle overvalued?
Yeah, that's where you got to figure out the variance they're talking about. I'm 77 years old. The most money I ever made was buying cattle in the late fall, November, December, and pregnant, and sell them in the spring with a calf by the side. But that's back when cows were 17 cents a pound. But that's the most money ever made was buying pregnant cows, sell them with a calf for the spring when grass come out.
Perfect. Thanks, Larry.
An interesting concept is don't give away your feed, which took me a while to, it took me a few minutes to catch on.
Okay. Don't give away your feed. I like that. Thanks, Ken. Somebody else having something there?
I was kind of curious about the don't give away the feed, whether that was in relation to compensatory gain, thinking, oh, we're going to make it later, and maybe you should be putting that gain into something that's gaining now. So I had a kind of a question about that.
Yeah. So kind of my takeaway from that was, you know, be sure when you're figuring your profit, be sure that you're charging back to that animal, the feed that she ate, even if it's a standing feed that you graze. And kind of what we do as a rule of thumb is we just basically charge that animal or that set of animals what it would cost us or what we could get paid for. That's our opportunity cost. And so we are largely custom grazers. So for us, that's a real cost. Any cow we own is one less cow we could run for somebody else. We'll take maybe two more questions. And so I think we've gone through a lot of them. I've tried to summarize some of them, but this one might be, well, I'm not going to preface it. Hedging and LRP, livestock protection.
No. or that somebody asked that question and another student ancient answered it. He said, I have two words for you, margin call.
Okay. So tell us why. I mean, we
can't, legally, we cannot talk in any way about commodities because we're not brokers and Dad couldn't either.
Bonded.
You have to be bonded in order to legally speak about it. And it's just something that's, you know, some people do, some banks require it, but it actually will limit you in the your options because you need to be available to make these trades when they come, and we have no idea when they're going to come. So we won't talk any about it. Dad didn't talk any about it. It's not a part of the proper livestock marketing.
There you go.
How's that?
No.
So LRP is livestock risk protection. So it is different than hedging, right? It is actually an insurance, but,
that would be another no.
Okay.
We actually talked to a fella. He went to our January marketing course, and we talked to him quite a bit in the fall, and he had one of those, and he lost a good bit of money. It didn't help him at all, just the way it all worked out. And I'm not saying it just isn't. It's something that locks you into a certain thing, and you have to pay for it. It's a cost. Whereas when you are open and available to my devices. No.
That's where you should have stopped right there. Next question.
No, and Dad was very against any insurance. That's just the way, and that's so, but everybody should make their own decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No one understand yourself.
That's right. We forgot to
nope,
say that.
I didn't forget it. Oh, okay. I said it just then.
You did.
Good job. That was the very first principle in the class, right?
It was. And it's. Well, I know when we took the class, we were like, well, this is a waste of time. But the more we teach and the more we're around people, know and understand yourself is probably one of the most important concepts.
Yeah.
Of well, really everything.
Because every ranch is different, and resources and opportunities. Every person is different. Every herd of stock that I've ever been around has been different, and that is just you can't do that. So,
Yep.
Very good. So we talked about our next event, which is coming up in May. And yes, it will be recorded. Encourage you to definitely come. It's open. That one registration covers a business. And we encourage you to bring the key team members of your business, especially husband and wife teams, when you attend that. And so that's where we start in that class, is know yourself. Really dig deep into what your why is. And I remember your dad saying, don't build a business based around something you know you won't do. You're just going to set yourself up for failure. So with that, we'll just have to have them back on. That's the thing we'll do, because I know we just scratched the surface and we didn't even really talk about stockmanship. So we appreciate you. This was kind of a record group. I think we got close to 60 on. And that is really good. Appreciate your attendance here today. Are there any other questions or discussions that you guys would like to bring? Maybe two more people that would be willing to share what their takeaways are from this, and then we'll wrap this up.
It was is give the consumer what they want. Doesn't matter what kind of cattle you're in love with or what you've got, but give them what they want.
Yep. Very good. Thanks again, Cody. Anybody else brave and willing to share?
I think that the buying your profit when you're purchasing your inventory, when you're buying that, you're buying your profit when you're buying back.
Mm-hmm. That for you, that was your big takeaway. Yeah, Katrina, thank you. That is really good. That stood out to me as well. Right. So very good.
Jared, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because you're selling direct to consumer, how are you determining what your buyback value is, or your margin is, or your value, the margin you need to take away when you sell to the consumer?
Yeah, so that's where a lot of us in the direct marketing right now, with the increase in commodity prices, like our margins have gotten thin. And I think a lot of people are in that boat where they're not covering their expenses, especially those, their feed, you know, and so when they're figuring back in all those expenses, it's just not there. So how do we manage that? So we work it backwards, I guess, like we figure how much we want to make off of each animal. We put in our hard costs, what our, you know, what our replacement value is going to be, how much it's going to take and feed to get them to that point. And then we make sure that that's profitable. And did that answer your question? So
yes, it does.
And we do that, just to expand on that a little bit more, we do that at each stage in that animal's life. So we'll go on the cow-calf stage, we'll go from birth to weaning, we'll go from weaning through to stalker phase, and then we'll go from stalker to finisher. And and again, when you do that, you need to make sure that there's enough profit in that end stage and that you have enough capital available if you're going to carry those calves through, so you don't run out of money midstream, because it takes a lot of time. We're finishing cattle at 30 months, 24 to 30 months. So there's a bit of a lag time there, but good question, Chris.
Your investment is up front then.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So mostly right now, what we're doing is we're buying heiferettes and finishing those. Yep.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate your contributions. Appreciate you being part of this group. We will do it again in a couple months. Those of you who were not able to watch the summit, it will be going out here on YouTube as soon as we get it edited up. And there were some amazing talks there. I encourage you to go back and review that and give it some thought to the 2-day event. Like, we have had some amazing results from that. This is the time to be able to really dive deep and to work on your business and make sure that you have the structure that you need to create a business that will last for generations. So, with that, God bless, and we hope to see you next month on either on the webinar or at the two-day event. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on the Profitable Steward Podcast. Want to learn more about making your enterprise more profitable? Check out Ag Steward on our website, www.agsteward.fyi. Here at Ag Steward, we're working hard to make sure you have the latest tools and knowledge from the field of regenerative agriculture. Subscribe to our podcast to keep up with the latest info and help us spread the word by giving this video a thumbs up, sharing this information with other farmers, and as always, please join the conversation by leaving us a rating and a review so we can help you to keep growing strong.